Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 6, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. Even if I weren't trying to tell you that this is the time before Messiah's return, and it wasn't the end times, and that anything could happen at any point, there's so much that could happen to you in your life that you could die tomorrow. You could get struck with cancer. You could walk outside, get hit by a car. There's so many things, and you need to be right before you meet your maker. So if you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Excuse me. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. So if you type that in, you're going to find it. And yeah, well, if you want to got technical, you'd have to put www, but not with Google or one of the others. Type it in and see what you get. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal Service and by email with your return address and phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitation for donations. Now remember, we are a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube right now, and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airplane. And on another note, let's thank our listener base in places worldwide like San Diego, Chile, Brussels, Belgium, Tokyo, Japan, Milan, Italy, Auckland, New Zealand. I like to say that one, Auckland, New Zealand. And I've heard from some people down there in New Zealand, so how are you folks tonight? And, of course, places in the good old USA, such as Aurora, Illinois, El Paso, Texas, Bakersfield, California, Newark, New Jersey, St. Louis, Missouri, and these are just to name a few. And, of course, people in Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later tonight. So, folks over there in Wichita, pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We are helping your neighbors, and we are in your city, so pray about it. Now, a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, last week we talked about the armies of Antichrist, and tonight we're going to talk about the Antichrist himself. But first, let's have a wonderful song.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
Then the days of Noah keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever.
Postage, but we, because remember, we don't sell anything over here, and that was clear back in the '90s. And you know, those songs perfectly fit today. And just like this, the spirit of Noah. Just think about that out there. People aren't listening. You know, it seems like they don't listen at all, and that gets worse and worse as time goes on. Draw them a picture in pretty paints, but everybody is out there. There's, well, I won't say everybody, but most people are out there running wild. Well, I was talking with Stan Johnson from the Prophecy Club the other night, and we were discussing about how people are spending incredible amounts of money on entertainment, but yet they don't donate, Stan said, but yet they don't donate, you know, to the Watchman Ministries. And I piped in and I said, well, look, you know, we're taking care of the, we have a mission church, we're taking care of the homeless and poor. And, but what's happening? People don't donate. They would rather spend, they could spend $500 taking their wife out or out for a weekend or whatever, and with not anything to the Father. And it doesn't have to be to me, but you know, that's where the Father uses people to get his money. So the spirit of Noah is here. You know, people are ignoring things, they're doing all kinds of perversion is coming more and more and more to this country and to the world. All you have to do is look around or look at maybe a Hollywood night, you know, not that they're good examples, they never have been really, but to a point. But the women are practically wearing nothing, and they're always going, oops, I accidentally showed my private parts. Really accidentally, they did it on purpose. And young people find that, and they follow it. And then we could go on for hours about the gay and the lesbian and all the other things that are going on. Very important, though, let's hit on this. We talked last week about how armies of the Antichrist are there. People that are ungodly are trying to bring in Islam. I mean, this is so strong. And so tonight, I'm going to talk about the Antichrist. And the best example I could find would be to give you some comparisons. And those comparisons I found come from a book by Joel Richardson called The Islamic Antichrist. Tonight we will deal with some of those comparisons from chapter 18 of that book between the Bible and Islam concerning this matter. It goes something like this. Let me get over here for it. Okay. This is a summary of comparisons between the Islamic and biblical narrative of the end times. And he goes on and he says, this section has a final review of many of the startling similarities that exist between the biblical narrative of the last days and the Islamic narrative of the same period. So with the first one, we have from the Bible. The Bible says the Antichrist is an unparalleled politician, military, religious leader that will emerge in the last days. Well, side by side with that, Islam says the Mahdi is an unparalleled political, military, religious leader that will emerge in the last days. So you see these comparisons just, you know, they pretty much are, just start off with, look like there's a mirror there, right? Well, now let's go on to the next one. Bible. The false prophet is a secondary prominent figure that will emerge in the last days who will support the Antichrist. Now, you know, a lot of people have accusations of that being a lot of different people. A lot of people think it's the office of the Pope. If you look at the Pope nowadays, it looks like he's trying to make Islam and Christianity one religion. If you follow the things that he says and the actions that he does, even allowing Muslim prayers inside the Vatican, you know, there's something dramatically wrong with that, especially when, what did I tell you last week? When it comes to Islam, Islam says Allah has no son. Allah has no son. And he who denies this, and the Bible says, he who denies the son denies also the father, and it's the spirit of what? Antichrist. So back to that. So it said the false prophet. Now this is what Islam says. The Muslim Jesus is a secondary prominent figure that will emerge in the last days to support the Mahdi. Now, what you had first was the false prophet is a prominent figure that will emerge in the last days to support the Antichrist. Islam says the Muslim Jesus is a secondary prominent figure that will emerge in the last days to support the Mahdi. Bible, we're going on. Bible says the Antichrist and the false prophet together will have a powerful army that will do great damage to the earth in an effort to subdue every nation and dominate the world. Now, it does say 10 nations in the Bible that they will actually have control over. I do not think that they will be, while there will be an influence across the world, the Antichrist will not rule the whole world. The Bible never says that. But what does Islam say about that? Islam says the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus will have a powerful army that will attempt to control every nation of the earth and dominate what? The world. So are you starting to see this parallel there? Isn't it fantastic? I mean, it's like, you know, the Bible wrote about what the Muslims were saying. Bible. Let's move on. The false prophet is described incessantly as a dragon in lamb's clothing. Well, that's pretty interesting. Of course, we know that. Islam says the Muslim Jesus literally comes bearing the name of the one that the world knows as the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Yet the Muslim Jesus comes to murder all those who do not submit to Islam. So Islam, like we told you last week, Islam will tell you, if you say, do you believe in Jesus? They'll say, yes, we believe in Jesus. Yes, we do. But ask them what they believe about him. They believe Jesus comes to murder all those that do not submit to Islam. That's pretty fantastic stuff. Okay? And now let's move right along. By the way, folks, you can go to Joel's Trumpet and see a lot of things about the Islamic Antichrist and some of his other books and DVDs. And make sure you get this book, The Islamic Antichrist, and then the next book up from it, which is, of course, The Mideast Beast. And you should really research it. Anyway, next one, Bible. The Antichrist and the false prophets establish a new world order. Islam says the Mahdi and Muslim Jesus establish a new world order. Bible. the Antichrist and the Bible. The Antichrist and the false prophet institute new laws for the whole earth. Islam, the Mahdi, and the Muslim Jesus institute Islamic law all over the earth. Now, why would we? I still, you don't get that. People say, "Oh, Sharia law is all right." Really? How uninformed are you? Have you not looked at any of it? Even if you didn't take the murderous aspects of it, the other things are totally not compatible with Christianity, nor really with any human being, if you ask me. I mean, women can't, what about you ladies out there? I know I have women listeners to this program. What about that? You think you have to be covered up from the top of your head to the tip of your toe? Well, not tip of your toe, your ankles, I think it works out as. And do you think that you need your husband's permission to drive a car? Or like one woman was stoned to death because she was standing in a doorway in Somalia without her husband in the doorway, and so she was stoned to death. I mean, these are harshness of Islamic Sharia law, but even in the light part of it, young people, you can't date and do all these other things, you know. So really look at it, let alone, and those of you that are pro, prayerfully, you're not, but a lot of people are pro-gay. Well, what about them taking gays and throw them off the top of buildings? Think about that. Anyway, let's go on. The Bible, the Antichrist and the false prophet, we already did that one. Okay, let's go on. The Bible, the Antichrist is said to change the times. Islam. It is quite certain that if the Mahdi established Islam all over the earth, he would discontinue the use of Saturday and Sunday as the weekend or days of rest, but rather Friday, the holy day of Islam. Also, he would most certainly eliminate the Gregorian calendar, you know, the AD, and replace it with the Islamic calendar, AH, that is used in every Islamic country. Well, of course they would. So would they change the times? Of course they would, if they could. But I'm going to reinstitute to you that I do not believe that the Antichrist will have complete power over all the earth. I could be wrong, but I don't believe my Bible says that, especially when I look at the prophet readings and the things, and it talks about the nations that and so on and so forth. I do not think that it is much past these 10 nations and some others that are with them that attack Israel in Ezekiel 38. Okay. Bible. The Antichrist and the false prophet will be both powerful religious leaders who will attempt to institute a universal world religion. Islam. The Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus will institute Islam as the only religion on earth. Well, they do that in every country they go to. Like right now in the Middle East, they're trying to eliminate Christians completely. They're trying to murder them and kill them. So what would be new about that? And it comes back to the same thing. Why in the world are we allowing this kind of behavior in this country? It shows you this huge spiritual battle that is going on over this nation. When you see people that are... Let's go with this. You see churches. What about the church, the assembly? The assembly are telling you, oh, well, we pray to the same God, and you can go to heaven by going through Allah. Well, really, where are we all at with that? I thought our Bibles told us there's only one way through the Father, and that's through the Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. He died for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And it is 3 days and three nights without the 3 days. Because they said, what is the sign? He said, they asked Yeshua, what's the sign given? And he said, we just did a program over this a couple of weeks ago. The only sign given to a wicked and adulterous generation is the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man, or in the belly of the whale, excuse me, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he meant that. There's no way 3 days and three nights end up to Friday and raising up on Sunday morning. It's not possible. Go back to that program we did a couple of weeks and check it out. What time we're in. Anyway, the Antichrist and the false prophet will execute anyone who does not submit to their world religion. We can see a picture of that right now in the Middle East. How many people has ISIS put to death through beheading and burning them alive and crucifixion and all of these things in the Middle East? There's almost a genocide going on, and that's where Christianity came from. These are the people of the book. These people are being literally put to death. But yet, in the same light, and we'll do a program on it. I'm trying to see if I can get somebody to talk about it. If not, we'll just go through it. But the Muslims over there are seeing many, many dreams and visions of who? Yeshua. And they're becoming saved. So we have both things going on. We're having Muslims turn to Yeshua and become saved. And we're also having Christianity, Christians being put to death. And both of those things were talked about, you know, people talk about a revival in the end times. There's a revival there. And there's also a revival going on in China. I mean, Christianity, they say, if the world goes on, and I don't believe so that long, but by about 2025 or something like that, China will have the largest group of Christians in the world inside of their country. That's pretty amazing, especially when you have America. Christianity is on the decline in America. That's absolute. You can tell by the way those folks are out there asking and what they're putting on TV and all the rest of stuff. Christianity is on the way out. Biblical motivation is just on the way out. People may claim to be Christians, but they sure don't want to claim it in public or in their jobs or their businesses. They don't want to reflect that because they're in fear. Why are you in fear if you're bold? You know, you're not supposed to fear those that could take your body, but fear he who could take your soul and make you burn in hell. And that would be your father. And so you need to stand up, because the word says, if you deny the Son in front of people, then why basically shall the Son stand up for you when it comes time to meet your Maker? You need to really think about that. You need to do things that are pleasing to him. Anyway, folks, check us out at prophecyhour.com. You can find the links to our websites and things, and to our radio archives, and to the Wichita Mission Church, prophecyhour.com. Check it out, and I guess I'll be back in 3 minutes. Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, things are really, really heating up in the world. I've got a couple things to tell you, but first we're going to have a song. We're going to come back. We're going to talk.
What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for him. journeys through, we may not see the good in what he's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in his son. His time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. And soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's fit for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned.
Are you thankful when you go through tribulation? You know, that's a lot of the way, one of the ways that you can tell the Father's people is that you see them going through trials and tribulations, you know, but that's because they're being pruned. You know, we get pruned because so we will bear more fruit for the kingdom. And that's what it's all about, bearing fruit for the kingdom of heaven, you know. So really, you need to do things that are pleasing in his eyes. And I don't care if you spend money on entertainment, but you also need to spend money on the kingdom. When is the last time you did something for the Father? You need to really pray about that. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We'll get into a little more of that a little later. But right now, I've got to tell you some other things that are breaking. Now this, the Russian ambassador, I want to make sure I get it right. On Thursday, Russia, through their foreign minister, announced today in a statement regarding the Palestinian-Israeli settlement, this is what Russia's foreign minister announced, and they've never said this before. We reaffirm our commitment to United Nations-approved principles for a Palestinian-Israeli settlement. Okay, that's been out there, which includes the status of East Jerusalem as the capital of a future Palestinian state. Okay, well, we know that's what the Palestinians wanted, but they wanted all of Jerusalem. But listen to the rest of this. This is what's not been said by any nation. At the same time, we must state that in the context, we view West Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. This is really a dramatic thing. Especially you have rabbis and people in Israel that are actually believing that between an agreement between Putin and President Trump that they will move the embassy there and that there will be a temple built there. So these are things that are happening. And I really believe, especially after we had the Jordanian minister, the head of state, just left from a talk with Trump, and they said they were getting other Arab nations on board to recognize that Israel has a right to exist and they want a peace settlement. Folks, this is dramatic things that are going on. That's why the devil is fighting so hard against Trump and he's using these other people. If you don't believe it, you'd listen to the previous program that we did. But let me throw one other thing out here before we get back to our list. Now, here's a headline. Lawsuit. Public school forced my child to convert to Islam. It says a public high school has been accused of radical Islamic indoctrination by forcing children to profess the Muslim statement of faith, ordering them to memorize the five pillars of Islam and teaching that the faith of a Muslim is stronger than the average Christian, according to a federal lawsuit filed on Wednesday. Defendants for they told her a defendant forced Wood's daughter to disparage her faith by reciting the Shahada or whatever it's S-H-A. Anyway, acknowledging that Muslim as their spiritual leader. This is all that's needed to become a Muslim. It's the Islamic creed. It says there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. You should not, you could teach about that without forcing them to memorize it and so on and so forth. They are trying to convert children to the Islamic faith in the school. I believe that'll be changed under Trump. I believe that'll be changed with the new woman. But this is an instruction against Christianity, which they, for the record, they didn't tell you how to believe in Jesus and become saved. So if you don't believe me, all you have to do is look. While so much of the world just rushes right on and goes, oh, we're waiting for that suit and tie Antichrist, and we're waiting for the mark of the beast to go under our skin. That is not what's going on. It's being done right underneath your noses. It is being done right underneath your nose. I pray that you wake up. And if this wakes you up, I pray that you inform your pastor and get some of these books and materials and show them, like this book from Joel Richardson, The Islamic Antichrist. Speaking of which, let's move on with some more about that. Now, just before we went on break, we said the Antichrist and the false prophet will execute anyone who does not submit to their religion. And what's it say? Islam says the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus will execute anyone who does not submit to Islam. We've seen it in the Middle East and other places in the world. Now, let's move on to the next one, Bible. The Antichrist and the false prophet will specifically use beheading as the primary means of execution for nonconformists. Do I even have to say the next one? Islam, the Mahdi, and the Muslim Jesus will use the Islamic practice of what? Beheading for executions. And what are we seeing right now in front of your noses? End time stuff. They're losing their head for not denying Christ. Bible. The Antichrist and the false prophet will have a specific agenda to kill as many Jews as possible. Islam, the Mahdi, and the Muslim Jesus will kill as many Jews as possible until only a few are left hiding behind rocks and trees. Now that comes from their writings. Bible. The Antichrist and the false prophet will attack to conquer and seize Jerusalem. And that's from what a divided Jerusalem. And as we can see, that may be coming about with Islam having east and what did that say? One having east and the other having west. That's just amazing. Islam, the Mahdi, and the Muslim Jesus will attack to reconquer and seize Jerusalem for Islam. Of course they will. And what better strategic point if Jerusalem is already divided under a false peace? The Bible. The Antichrist will set himself up in a Jewish temple as a seat of his authority. Islam. The Mahdi will establish the Islamic Caliphate from Jerusalem. Now, I want to say something about that. The actual temple, the Word of God says, the actual third temple that will be built, Ezekiel's temple, is supposed to be built by Yeshua. The Word says that David, which is Yeshua, that sits on the throne, will build that temple. And so, will there be a false temple? If they build a temple before Yeshua's return, it will definitely be a false temple, if that succeeds. Okay. But, now, that's back dwelling over Jerusalem. The Bible. Here's another one. The Bible. The false prophet is said to do many miracles to deceive as many as possible into supporting the Antichrist. What's Islam say? Islam. The Mahdi himself is said to control the weather and the crops. His face is said to glow. We can assume that Jesus is viewed as having been empowered by Allah to work miracles when he was here on earth the first time. And he will most likely be expected to continue to do so when he returns. So, yeah, they believe in Jesus, don't they? But they don't believe he's the Son of God. Bible. The Antichrist is described as riding on a white horse in the book of Revelation, Islam. The Mahdi is described as riding on a white horse, ironically, from the same verse. Islam uses the same biblical verse to say the same thing about, do you see that? That is so, wow. Okay, let's move on. Bible. The Antichrist is said to make a peace treaty with Israel for 7 years. Islam. The Mahdi is said to make a peace treaty through a Jew, specifically a Levite, for exactly 7 years. Now, do you know of any other religion out there that adds up to this, and that their whole faith is headed, wants to be headed towards this thing? Even with trying to bring in the one world religion, which I just showed you that our own schools are teaching children. You remember, I thought we wasn't supposed to teach any faith in the schools, you know, but yet it's teaching you how to be, an Islamic. Tell me that's right. Okay. The Antichrist is said to make a peace treaty for Israel. Okay. We already did that one. Okay. Let's move on. Bible. Jesus. Or I would say Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, will return to defend the Jews in Israel from a military attack from a vast coalition led by the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now, that's Ezekiel 38, and that you can see the lineup of the nations. And Yeshua will return, and at that time, Israel will accept him as, but it'll be a little bit before that battle. We'll get into that another time. Well, what's Islam say? The Dahaji, or the Islamic Antichrist, will gain a great Jewish following and claim to be Jesus Christ and fight against Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus. Okay, so they have a version of the Islamic Antichrist, which is there. They do have an Islamic Antichrist, although we're saying the Islamic Antichrist is the Antichrist. They're saying there's another Antichrist, and that points to a Jesus that would return, that claims to be Jesus, but isn't Jesus, that would fight against the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus. See how close this parallel is? Tit for tat. Bible. The Antichrist spirit specifically denies the most unique and central doctrines of Christianity, namely the Trinity, the Incarnation, and the death of Yeshua on the cross. Islam. Islam doctrinally and spiritually specifically denies the most unique and central doctrines of Christianity, namely the Trinity, the Incarnation, and the death of Yeshua on the cross. They say he did not die on the cross. He who denies the Son denies also the Father. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Bible. The primary warning of Yeshua and the Apostle Paul was to warn the Christians of the abundance of deceit and deception in the last days. Islam. Islam is perhaps the only religion in the earth that practices deceit as one of its tools to assist in its own ascendancy. It actually has specific doctrine which allows and even calls for deception to be used to achieve its desired end. In other words, lying, folks. And the Bible says all over it, liars will not have their place in the kingdom. They have their own place, but they will not have their place in the kingdom. So if you folks are out there lying, you need to read the book of Revelation, and we'll read the whole Bible. But it says specifically, liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Bible. The specific nations pictured in the Bible as being part of the final empire of the Antichrist are all Islamic nations. That's what I'm talking about. Not the whole world, but this final empire. Islam. All Muslims are commanded to give their allegiance to the Mahdi as the final caliph and the imam leader of Islam. So, you know, look how close this is. Bible. From the Bible and history, we learn that the final Antichrist empire will be a revised version of the empire that succeeds the Roman Empire. That's not true. The Antichrist is not going to be something that is from the Roman Empire, but would be, that's the way, it doesn't lay that out like that, it's the Ottoman Empire. That's what the Bible teaches. Okay, Islam, the empire that succeeded the Roman Empire, was the Islamic Ottoman Empire. So I guess the way he said it was right. History, we learned that the final Antichrist Empire will be a revived version of the empire that came after the Roman Empire. That empire was the Ottoman Empire, and Islam says the same thing. The empire that succeeded the Roman Byzantine Empire was the Islamic Ottoman Empire, saying the same thing. Bible. When the Antichrist emerges, there will already be some form of system in place that will be poised to receive him as Savior and give allegiance to him. Islam is already the second largest religion and will, at present growth rates, become the largest religion within a few decades or sooner. Islam is awaiting the coming of the Mahdi with universal anticipation. Now, listen to me, folks. Why can't you see that? It's because you've been hoodwinked into belief. You look at the Bible from the point of view of a Western person. In other words, like I always say, you're looking at the Bible from the point of view of a cowboy. And it's a book about Indians, so to speak. Until you start looking at the Bible from the point of view of the people that wrote the book, you're not going to get it. And you're going to be overwhelmed by Indians, so to speak. And so you need to look at it from the culture of the people that wrote the book and what they said and in their meanings, and quit doing replacement theology. That when it says, the Bible says Israel, it's talking about Israel. When it gives you an ancient name about a country over there in Israel, it's not talking about a future country over here in America or in South America or someplace. Just look on a map and see what that ancient country is. And you'll see where it is now. And that's how you should define the Bible. And remember, we're grafted into them. You want the Jews to conform to Christianity when it is the other way around. We are grafted into Israel. No, I don't say that you have to become a Jew, but Paul says that we must become a Jew inside. That's what Paul says. Paul said it. You guys just neglect that part of the book. Does that mean you have to go wearing those little neat curls in your hair and all these other things? No. But it's talking about how you are saved and following the commandments, studying the Torah. You know, when Yeshua returns, he's going to put the Torah in you. It says that. And nowhere does it say there's going to be a new Torah that he puts in you. But you're going to be a one new man. You're going to be different because he placed the Torah within you. And so pray about that. It's just like, you know, Christianity. I love my brothers in Christ. Absolutely. But, you know, while you chase after Easter, which is the name of a pagan god, you neglect Passover. And we talked about Passover a couple of weeks ago, and how 3 days and three nights is the only sign given, but yet you neglect it. You know, you neglect it for Easter eggs. You know, what has an Easter egg got to do with Yeshua? Nothing. What does Passover have to do with Yeshua? I'll tell you what Passover has to do with Yeshua. The first Passover, we were saved from a physical death. When they put the blood over the doorpost, that lamb, which was a lamb of God, that sacrificial lamb, that blood saved us from a physical death. So we were passed over by the angel of death. It was a shadow picture that Yeshua would come. And at Passover, what did he do? He broke bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the supper, he also said, here is the cup of the New Testament. "In my blood, this do you as often as you do it in remembrance of me." The blood washed away your sins. That's what brought us into the covenant. That was a covenant meal that would happen after every covenant. If you haven't ever studied about the covenants, go back in our radio archives. We did a real good program on it. Or, you know, call me. I can explain it to you. But covenants. And what covenant? Is there a such thing as a covenant of grace? Yes, there is. And that covenant is what allows Gentiles to be grafted in. And it's not the new covenant that does that. It is the covenant that was given to Abraham, the covenant of grace. Sure, we enter into the new covenant. Yeshua did the new covenant meal. And he died for us as the blood of the new covenant. But that won't be fully implemented until it hasn't all been implemented. You don't have a glorified body. We're not living in Jerusalem. There isn't peace on the earth. There's all these things that have not been fulfilled yet. When he returns, which is just a blink of an eye to him, he's going to put the Torah in you, and you will be different. You will have a glorified body. You will be like him. If it was, let's go with this. People talk about, well, oh, okay, when he comes back, we're going to be like him. Yeshua is the Word made flesh. The Word. The Word at the time of Yeshua on the earth, the only Word there was the Holy Scriptures, and the Holy Scriptures was the Tanakh. And those of you who don't know what that was the Old Testament. And so Yeshua is that living Word. He is that Word. And so where does it say that there'll be a new Yeshua put in you? There's not going to be a new Yeshua put in you. There's going to be the Word will be put in you, and you'll be able to keep it, because no man has been able to keep it. But by putting it in you, you can. So, folks, we're running out of time. I do want you to pray about a Passover gift. We do really desperately need your help. If you've never donated before, we pray that you would donate tonight. Also, radio airtime. We haven't yet paid off our airtime this month. And all the Watchman ministries, I understand right now, are having a hard time because Trump came in and so many people said, well, we've been under Obama all these years. And so, hey, it's like, you know, it's grace. And so people quit buying storage food and all these other things, and you should always have storage food because you don't know what's going to happen. Tornado, storm, earthquake, these things are on the brink. Even people are talking about how California could fall into the ocean at any time, and I had looked for that judgment to come. Judgment is coming. It's actually here. Obama was part of that judgment, and he hasn't left yet. But pray about the Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help. We are, folks, we are the last hope for so many folks at the Wichita Mission Church. And folks, all of us are responsible to care one for another. As you know, you and I, we are our brother's keepers. All donations to Messiah's Branch helps, no matter what size. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Again, if you don't wish to donate with the poor, were you blessed by this radio program? I know people say, well, radio is free. Well, we can't stay on this station without paying them. I mean, you see, they have to pay electric and all those other things, internet, satellite, all those things. So we have to pay them so they can pay their bills. So pray about supporting their time. I mean, it's only if you're blessed by it. What's the problem? It doesn't have to be a huge donation, but anything would help. I'm thankful for the people that I've got some people that are paying. Some of them are donating automatic donations set up, 25 a month, and that's great. Well, if I could get about 10 more of you or 20 more of you to do that, it would be great. Or, you know, a one-time donation, $100 or $500. I know some of you folks out there have it, and think about how much have you spent on the Father's things lately, you know? Consider that. But I don't want to try to put you on a guilt trip. I'm so a person that really hates to ask for donations, but yet that's the only way that we have to raise money is to ask for donations, because we don't sell anything. We're not a business. We're not a corporation. We don't sell anything. And all we do is try to serve the Father and His Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. So help us to achieve that goal by warning you and warning others and by taking care of His people in Wichita, Kansas. You folks there in Wichita, Kansas, you know, we'll be over there on Monday, you know, if you want to bring something by. We will be there on Monday. So pray about it. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and you folks in Wichita. Bring clothing. I mean, if nothing else, bring your old clothing because people need it. And that's homeless and poor. You know, I talk about it all the time. People think, oh, he just takes care of the homeless. No, there's poor people that come in here that have roofs over their head, but they can't afford food and clothing and everything else because of the dramatically bad economy that we've been in the whole time of Obama. And, you know, right now for a lot, it's getting worse. It will get better. I believe that. but right now it's bad. So pray about a donation to Messiah's Branch Mission Church. You know, and you folks in Wichita, I had a fellow call me the other day, said he was going to donate some rice by paying for it at Walmart, and I was going to go pick up two bags of rice. Well, brother, I still haven't heard back from you, so pray about that. You know, we do need what you promised. And that goes with the others. There's so many people that told me that, well, I'm going to donate, Pastor Dan. I'm getting some more money, and I'm going to donate. But, you know, if I had everything that people told me they were going to donate, I wouldn't be asking for donations right now. Pray about it. You must remember there is only one God. And who is he? He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what? Always, 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 always be a blessing to others. If you're not a blessing to others, how can you be saved? And before I finally sign off, if you have a radio guest you'd like to hear me have on, send me an email with it. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.